Together, we are Ash Friendly. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Ash Friendly. I am your host, Seal Jones. I want to thank everyone for listening. I deeply appreciate it. I hope this podcast brings you light, love, and energy to yourself and to everyone around you. Well, folks, today is finally our first event of Ash Friendly. It's the Ash Friendly Family Meeting. These events are held every single week on a Tuesday of the Ash Friendly Family, and then throughout the week, there will be Ash Friendly Meeting for everyone. Everyone can come and join. And so today we're going to talk about relating what we're doing together as a group to all the people that struggle out there. My app is for people who struggle and people who don't understand what's going on, to make sure that we're all protected and respecting each other's individuality, their religion, their skin color, and whatever they decide to do with life. What do I mean by this is that we're going through the steps and stages of people helping each other that may not have the time or the mobility to do anything. And we're going to give them an opportunity to be creative in creating art or creating who they are and showing that to us. And then we're going to relate, and then we're going to bring that to them. And if they think value in that, if they think that's important, they'll pick that up and take it with them. These are all struggles, mental struggles, physical struggles. People have made mistakes. People are homeless and poor. You must take care of them any way you can. I know that's an awful lot and a lot of responsibility, but where we go and where we begin from is forgiveness. Forgiving yourself, forgiving your actions that you may have hurt somebody, even they flash back in front of you, but that's part of life. And you just don't mean to understand you made a mistake and you ask forgiveness. Forgive the people that hurt you, the people come into your life that didn't mean to hurt you. Forgive them, it's okay. Let them know you're here for them, and if they hurt you again, forgive them again. And slowly let them know that you may have to separate them for a little bit, but you're still at the same time together with them. And then that way, they can still know that the light is always on. All we can do is try our best. What I hate to say when people say they can't do something, and that means you quit. That means you gave up. Throughout my life, my family, my mom and my cousin always tell me, don't quit, get back on the horse. They get angry when I quit or get angry with the thought of me quitting Ash Friendly or doing what I need to do. They said, nope, you got to get back on the horse. I can't see you not doing something. I can't see you not creating something or not going forward and all the struggles that you went through. And that's what it's about. It's about people believing in me. That's believing in me, not for money, but just for the purpose that I'm out going to helping other people and finding my way, what I needed to do through the app. I can remember the time when my cousin didn't understand why I was giving up and I was just going to work and just be a waiter. Even the public that didn't like that said, what are you? I'm just a waiter. They hated that. They hated how that sounded. They hated how it come off. And so I had to understand, it's like I was hurting my mom, I was hurting my dad, and I was hurting my cousin by just giving up, by quitting. But I didn't know how to try. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to find different ways for people to keep trying and let it all work out. But before we get into that, I want to bring someone to my life that has been in my life for 14 years, that has inspired other people, whether she knows it or not, whether it wasn't important or not, whether she didn't think what she was doing was ever important, whether it's just going to school, going to college, getting your master's degree, not asking for help, but receiving help as people always wanted help. Wherever she went, she got the help that she needed to get her to the next point. And that is the point I'm trying to teach people. It's about being in motion and thinking ideas in different ways. How can I do something when I can't even get out of bed or I can't even get out of a chair? I can't go down the street. But what I need to find purpose and meaning in life somehow in some way. And that's what we're here to figure out. And there's no one better to explain that to you in real terms by going through it. By knowing you don't have support from your family, but you have their spiritual support. You may not have the help that you need, but all the time that she's ever needed someone, someone's came around to help her, whether it's to give her a ride or to give her food or to get her out of bed. And that's led to her getting her bachelor's degree, her master's degree, living a nice, full, rich life, seeing ballets and football games and seeing all this beautiful things she never had that ever dream of that she would do. but she kept trying to figure out a way, how can I get out of this house? How can I get out of this house by not even being able to walk out of the house or even going down the street because it's so rocky and because she lives in the mountains, the Smoky Mountains. Before anything else, I want to introduce her. Her name is Ashbo. Welcome to the show, Ashbo.
Thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure for you to be here, as always. Do you want questions or what do you
want? Oh. Yeah. Questions would be great.
All right. You got questions. I don't even know where to begin, but everywhere we go, there's always people who are just amazed by you, by like, oh, what are you doing here? How are you here? Like, they're just like shocked, like you're like this great angel. Like, oh my God, angels here. But they always just staying with me. They don't know what to do with me. They definitely don't know what to do with you.
Right.
But where did you decide that you needed to leave your house and to leave like the home of Murphy? When was that decision?
Oh, that's deep. That a lot of that has to do with my mother and, you know, her mental health. And that the time she was the one that was my technically caregiver person. But anyway, long story short, I had to do something for myself or she was going to bring me down with her. That was my fear. And so I had to use my brain because God blessed me with a smart brain. And I knew I needed to go to college and do something that I could do for myself.
So when you first initiated that thought in your head, did you look at it like, hey, like, how am I going to do this? Like, most think of someone being in a bedridden or being in a wheelchair, like, that has no help. Like, how am I going to, like, even pick up this pen? It's on the floor.
Yeah.
But you did it because you just kept trying. And you figured it out every single day. And you just didn't stop it by, oh, I got a roadblock. I have my books on the floor. I can't study. And then you maybe waited for hours for someone to come by to pick up the book so you could open up and read. How do you get where did you find that, knowing that all these little pieces every day, a little piece of joy would open up and then allow you to create what you needed to create?
That's a good question. I just kind of trusted that I was doing the right thing and just kind of went with it, to be honest. But I always had, you know, more than one caregivers in case someone couldn't come. You know how I always had like a team of people. Also, just growing up in this situation, I know there's adaptive devices out there. And so I would look up different things like the grabber thing that I have at my apartment. So there's different things like that that I looked into. So that way I would have, you know, something to get things.
So every day you got the unknown, that fear, the anxiety of like, how I'm going to do this. You were just piece by piece.
Yeah.
Right. Were you more focused on what you can't do? Or did you more focus on what, hey, this is what I can do?
I guess you would say kind of both. I would focus on what I could do, but also I knew whatever I couldn't do, I need to figure out a way that I can do it. And that's what I would do. I would just research, look into resources, that kind of thing. Talk to people at school.
So what would you say to someone listening right now that's like, I can't do this, I can't do that, and they're stuck looking at a wall all day? What would you tell that person to say, well, you can move your arm slightly, you can lift your finger, you can do this. What do you tell them to, like, there's a way out, you just need to figure out what you can do?
Yeah, you need to focus on what you can do, and whatever you can't do, you would just need to research. You need to look up, like, what are ways that I can do this? Now we have AI, so you can use that as a tool and ask, how can I do whatever it is? Also, if you have a case manager, you know, let them know what it is that you're needing. There's multiple things out there to help people now because we have technology and we have, you know, different things to help people.
Right. So there is a bright light out there for other people that they can see.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully that whenever someone who's struggling out there that needs this or need something, you can hear our voice, that there are options for you.
Yes.
And that's what we hope to bring to Ash Friendly, and hope that people can actually really see it and dig deep into it, like, oh, there's little things. One thing about you that I know that you never thought you would ever have. So if you're someone who is struggling really bad and can't really, has no hope, has no light, you're in hospice care, you're somewhere, you think you have, you are early stage dementia, you're going in and out, and you just put, you know what, I want to do something nice before, like, before my time is up. The impossible is there to do, because you never, ever in a million years would ever say, I have a Sir Pounce. Because you can't take care of him. You can buy his food, but you can't put it in the bowl. You can't change his litter. You can't give him his a treat. You can give him treats. You can't find his toys, but you have a cat. And people around you see your cat and help you out with your kitty.
Yes.
And that is what I want to express to people by saying, think of the of what you can do, let it open up, and then the impossible will unfold.
I like that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Ash, for being here. I appreciate it. And everything that you do for me. Well, folks, this is going to be our first activity. That means I'm going to set up the story. I'm going to set up everything else that you know what's going on so you can understand where we're coming from. I created a company that a while ago, and I created this idea called the Halloween Hunt. And a lot of people just don't they think it's about Halloween, but it's not. It's just supposed to say it's supposed to be scary. Because I want to make sure that it's for people who, of all mental capabilities, they know what Halloween is. It's supposed to be spooky, unknown. So think this is today, is what is our first Halloween hunt part of it. So the first thing you do is you come together and you have something to eat. And you enjoy the time that you're with the people that are around you. And as you're enjoying this time, people are getting ready to go on the Halloween hunt. And so think of it as a wall. Your end goal is a wall, mental wall, physical wall, whatever you want to say. And that mental block is your struggle throughout life that you've had and carried for you forever. And you can't get over it. And I want people to be able to understand that you can get over it in your own way. You just need to find a way. And so as they're going on their journey to this wall, this is where we come in. This is where I want to express in a way by leaving things behind. By saying, I am lost on the maze to find my wall, but I hear a flute. And that flute calms me down. And I get back on the track. I don't hurt myself physically, mentally, and I don't bury my feelings in drugs or other things I shouldn't do. They continue on the path because they heard a flute or heard something. So I want the four of us to come together to give something back. And how we're going to do this is to think about something in your life, a line, a color, an object that you'd like to contribute into the wall. So that way, when they go to the wall, they'll see something. Oh, this looks comforting. I'm going to hold on to this picture. Oh, I'm going to sit right by this lovely bench that someone gave me. So that way they can overcome whatever they need to do. So what I'm going to ask you now is I'm going to pause this. I am going to pause this because this is where activity begins, and I'm going to come back to you after the activity is over with.